Offering, you can give the deacons for this week. They will take care with that. And now, let us read our scripture reading from 2 Chronicles, chapter 33, verses 1 to 20. 2 Chronicles, chapter 33, verses 1 to 20. You can find the passage on page 249 in your Bible. This is the word of the living God. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. But he did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord has cast out before the children of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down. He raised up altars for the Baals, and made wooden images, and he worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. He also built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, "In Jerusalem shall my name be forever." And he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his son to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. He practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft and sorcery, and consulted mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. He even set a carved image to idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and Solomon, his son, "In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. And I will not again remove the foot of Israel from the land which I have appointed for your fathers, and if they are careful to do all that I have commanded them, according to the whole law and the statutes and ordinances by the hand of Moses." So Manasseh seduced Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they would not listen. Therefore the Lord brought upon them the captains of the army of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh with hooks and bound him with bronze feathers and carried him off to Babylon. Now when he was in affliction, he implored to the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his father and prayed to him, and he received his entreaty, heard his supplication, and brought him back to Jerusalem into his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord was God. After this, he built a wall outside the city of David on the west side of Gihon in the valley as far as the entrance of the fish gate, and it enclosed Ophel, and he raised it to a very great height. Then he put military captains in all the fortified cities of Judah. He took away the foreign gods and the idols from the house of the Lord and all the altars that he had built in Mount of the house of the Lord and in Jerusalem, and he cast them out of the city. He also repaired the altar of the Lord, sacrificed peace offerings and thank offerings on it, and commanded Judah to serve the Lord God of Israel. Nevertheless, the people still sacrificed on the high places, but only to the Lord their God. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh, his prayer to his God, and the words of the seers who spoke to him in the name of the Lord God of Israel, indeed they are written in the book of the kings of Israel. Also his prayer and how God received his entreaty and all his sins and trespass, and the sites where he built high places and set up wooden images and carved images before he was humbled, indeed they are written among the saying of Hosea. So Manasseh rested with his fathers, and they buried him in his own house. Then his son Amon reigned in his place. Amen. Beloved household of the Lord, we all like to hear great testimonies of the people. We also would like to read of this great dramatic conversion stories. They are always fascinating and encouraging, like the conversion of Saul the Pharisee, or Augustine of Hippo, or John Newton, the slave trader. It fascinates us to see how the grace of the Lord transformed those people. These testimonies became the living affirmation of the work of the living God. Thanks to these testimonies, we can see the active work of the Holy Spirit. He still pursues his people. He saves them from the most bottomless pits and the darkest corners of the fallen world. Sometimes the limit of this mercy and grace of our Almighty God go beyond of our comprehension. We cannot understand how God can forgive and hear the prayer of such a person. We are astonished by the loftiness of God's mercy. Today, we will look into one of the most remarkable testimonies that is recorded for us in the scriptures, the life of Manasseh. The life of Manasseh represents us the grim truth of our sinful lives and shows us how far we can go further in sinning, but at the same time, it represents the bright light of the grace of God. So we are going to look at our text with these two points today: the darkness of our sins and the light of the grace of God. The darkness of our sins and the light of the grace of God. King Manasseh was only 12 years old when he began to reign as a king. And he reigned for 55 years, as we read in the beginning of the chapter. That made him the longest ruling king in the southern kingdom. Before Manasseh, Lord had divided Israel into two kingdoms after the death of Solomon: the northern kingdom, the kingdom of Israel, and the southern kingdom, kingdom of Judah. Manasseh was the king of the southern kingdom, kingdom of Judah. In fact, if you read the whole Chronicles, you will see no record of northern kingdom. Only southern kingdom and kings were recorded in the Chronicles. King Manasseh shared the first 3 years of his reign with his father, Hezekiah. Hezekiah was a right person in the eyes of the Lord. He cleansed the temple. He repaired the temple. He made many religious reforms and observed the Passover after King Solomon for the first time. So we read this in 2 Chronicles 30, verse 26. So there was great joy in Jerusalem, for since the time of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, there had been nothing like this in Jerusalem. Hezekiah was an exceptional king. He was determined to do what was right and righteous in the eyes of the Lord. Although Manasseh was a king, it was a son of a godly king, we don't see that in Manasseh, right? Manasseh went completely the opposite direction. His father was a godly king, and together they witnessed so many miracles, but Manasseh still did great evil in the sight of the Lord. And we witness this situation, it's the same situation today as well, don't we? Young people are leaving the church everywhere in the United States, even though some of them have godly parents. We don't understand why this is happening so much in our generation, but we know the root problem: our fallen nature. But still, we cannot help ourselves asking these questions about Manasseh. How can a person still worship idols created by his own hands after witnessing the works of the living God? How can a person rebel against God after witnessing the power of God? Unfortunately, this happens again and again in the history of Israel. People witness the great deeds of the God, of our Lord, but they turn away from him. Brothers and sisters, if you still cannot understand how someone can behave like Manasseh or Israelites, you might not be understanding the seriousness of our fallen nature. Unless God intervenes, we are not capable of understanding anything about God and accept his greatness. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. As you can see, the condition of our spiritual situation is without God is worse than we think. Because we would like to think that we can choose God. We would like to think that we can do good. But the truth of Scripture tells us the opposite. You need the awakening work of the Holy Spirit. That's the only way we can be saved. Without the awakening work of the Spirit, everyone remains spiritually dead. People of God, we cannot save our children. Hezekiah couldn't, as we cannot save ourselves. Yet, this is the only thing we cannot do for them. But we should never give up raising them, raising our children according to precepts of the Lord. We need to rely on the work of the Holy Spirit and continuously pray for them. Our Lord is gracious. Do what you're supposed to do for your children and trust the Lord for the rest. And if we go back to our text, verse 9 says, so Manasseh seduced Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. He made God angry more than before. The biggest reason of this blazing anger of the Lord was the desecration of the temple. Because Manasseh put a graven image of Asherah inside the temple. Well, from the history, we can learn that Asherah was the fertility goddess of Canaanites. So, most likely, this turned temple a brothel in honor of Asherah. On top of this, Manasseh worshipped other gods as well. As verse 5 says, and he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. However, Manasseh didn't stop there. He even sacrificed his son for these pagan gods. This sect actually entered Jerusalem during the reign of King Solomon. This is one of the many sins of King Solomon. And from that time, it continued to exist until the reign of Hezekiah and Manasseh. At this point, you might be thinking, Manasseh did all the evil he could do. But this is sadly, it's not true. Because when we read from 2 Kings 21, moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another, beside his sins which he made Judah sin in doing evil in sight of the Lord. So he shed so many innocent people's blood. It filled Jerusalem, says the scripture. Manasseh went astray and he took everybody with himself. The reign of Manasseh reminds us the time of Noah. Especially for one reason. In time of Noah, people also had gone astray completely. But still, God gave them 100 years to repent. God waited patiently for 100 years for them to repent. And here we read the same, especially in verse 10, that speaks to us. And the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they would not listen. God gave Manasseh and Israelites 22 years to repent. God waited for 22 years, but they did not return from their sins. Those people forget the law, they forget what was the fear of the Lord, even though they witnessed all the powers of the Lord. These people saw the angel of the Lord, because we read that in 2 Kings and even in 2 Chronicles, it says, the angel of the Lord went out and struck down 185,000 Assyrians in the camp of Assyria when they besieged Jerusalem. They witnessed that. They also made a covenant with the Lord during the reign of Hezekiah. But they forgot all of those. But we ask, we wonder, why was God still faithful to this sinful nation, to this sinful king? Why he waited for 22 years and he didn't punish them right away? Because God made a covenant with them. The Lord says in Psalm 132, but your servant David's sake, do not turn away the face of your anointed. And also we read that in 2 Samuel chapter 7, Lord swore to David, when your days are fulfilled and you rest with your fathers, I will set up your seed after you, who will come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. God was faithful for the sake of Christ Jesus, our Savior, because God promised us our Savior was going to come from the lineage of David. And Manasseh is from that lineage, if you read Matthew 1. His name is recorded there. Brothers and sisters, Manasseh did great evil, but God's faithfulness was greater. That's the simplest answer we can give. Also, God has always been faithful to his promises. We need to understand that no one can either delay or ruin the plans of the Lord. God does not take any counsel from any man or dependent to any man. The Lord Almighty has all the power, understanding, wisdom, and he is enthroned between the cherubim. No man can accuse God of injustice, or our God is just in his all works. God doesn't need anyone to accomplish his plan. Our only hope for our salvation is in the Lord. We don't put our trust in man. Even if you are sinful as Manasseh, the blood of Christ has the power to cleanse you. Even if you live in the darkness as Manasseh, the blood of Christ has the power to bring you back to light. If God was merciful to Manasseh, one of the evilest person ever lived, God can surely show mercy to us, mercy to you. If God merciful to Israelites who forsook him and worshiped the idols, God can surely forgive your sins. Do you remember who went to heaven together with our Lord when he died on the cross? Was he a person who lived a godly life? Was he a person who spent his whole life to help others? No, he was a criminal. He was a thief. Yet the blood of our Savior was enough to cleanse him, even before he just died. This is the manifestation of the power of the gospel. Beloved household of the Lord, don't sink into despair, even if you feel there's no turning back for you. It's never too late for you. There is always hope in the name of Jesus. There is no sin in this world that is strong enough to separate you from Jesus Christ. Nothing but nothing can separate you from his everlasting love. So humble your heart, confess your sin, and return from evil ways, your evil ways, today. For our second point, the light of the grace of God begins to shine in verse 11. The first thing we realize in this section, God has the ultimate control, not just over Israel, but over Assyrians as well. God uses anyone to fulfill his plan. So God mobilizes Assyrians to accomplish his plan. God waited for 22 years, but this stubborn nation, stubborn people, they did not return from their sins. So God mobilized Assyrians to discipline his people. As parents don't disown their kids because of their wrongdoings, God doesn't disown his people from the covenant. Let us read Hebrews 12, a couple verses from that. It will help us to understand why God disciplined his people. Furthermore, we had had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the fathers of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastised us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. Now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. God disciplines Israelites and Manasseh by using other nations, Assyrians. And this creates the fruit of righteousness. In verse 12, we suddenly catch off guard, right? This verse suddenly catches off guard, because that's what the Bible says. Now when he was in affliction, he implored to the Lord his God, which is Manasseh, and humbled himself greatly before the God of his father. But we don't understand why, how Manasseh did return from his evil ways, because we expect the opposite. We expect that him become to more rebellious. We expect him to become more sinner and do more evil. But what happens that he returns from his evil ways? Manasseh finally remembers one of the promises of God, which is recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. The Lord promises the kings of Judah, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. Manasseh finally remembers one of the promises of God, and he prays. One of the commentators says, pray is the relief of the afflicted. He was afflicted, and prayer was his relief. And do you see how ready God is to accept and welcome returning sinner? God pours his mercy upon Manasseh as soon as he repents. God is like the father in the parable of prodigal son. Manasseh says, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son, my son, was dead and is alive again. He was lost and found. What a wonderful father Manasseh had, and what a wonderful father we have. God restores Manasseh and brings him from the exile, as he promised. Manasseh became the king again. But he returned from the exile with a changed heart. He found forgiveness in the Lord. And we read that this forgiveness changes his heart. If you read from verses 14 to 20, we see his action changes. He starts doing the right thing. And we understand that he was genuine in his repentance. People of God, repentance is not just feeling sorry for yourself. Repentance is not just feeling sorry or bad emotionally. Repentance is an action. When we repent, we do an action. This is not just a feeling. When you repent, you make a declaration that I will not return my old ways. I will not return to my old sins. And this is what we see in Manasseh's life. He doesn't return. He shows a genuine repentance. Brothers and sisters, you don't need to be taken as a captive like Manasseh and sent to exile and to return your evil ways, because someone was sent to exile and taken as a hostage. You don't have to be humiliated, spitted on your face, and bound with chains like animals, because someone was humiliated and bound with chains instead of you. Our Savior Christ Jesus came down to this world to save sinners like me and like you. God humbled himself for us to the point of death, even the shameful death on a cross. Christ Jesus was innocent, but he endured all of this for people like us, like Manasseh. But why did he do that? He was innocent, and we were evil. Because he loves his people, because out of his love. John says that in chapter 4, verse 9. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. The love of God was manifested for us. God is faithful. God loves his people. There is nothing that God cannot do for his people. He already proven that by sending his only begotten Son, our Lord. We love to read or listen to the wonderful stories of these conversions, like we just did today. These stories are fascinating, not just because of how those people responded. They are fascinating because we see God's mercy, faithfulness, and grace. Brothers and sisters, we must respond to this wonderful Father by fulfilling his will, living according to the gospel. Of course, we will not be perfect. We will struggle. But at least we need to aim for that goal. We need to be more like his Son, Christ Jesus. Not because we are going to earn our salvation or add anything to our salvation, because God is holy and he is worthy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord of heavens and earth, you regard the lowly, but the haughty you know from afar. May your Holy Spirit imply your words into our hearts and help us to be humble before your holy throne. Amen.